Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean,
can I make a shout out first?
Yeah, you make a shout out.
We've got I don't know if we've done this before, but we've got a listener over in England. Did you know that?
Yes,
Have I mentioned that before?
Yes,
have I said hello to Mick Dancer before on our show?
You've danced around it a bit.
I just want to say hello to Mick. It was his birthday just the other day. So happy birthday, Mick. And glad that you're listening to us all the way over in not so sunny England.
Yeah, talking about England, how did they go against Australia in the recent Ashes series over here?
Not so good, apparently.
Okay. Australia seem to punch well above their weight in many sports, and isn't it amazing how many Australian representative teams there are today compared to 20 years ago, 50 years ago?
Well, the world's a much smaller place now, isn't it? And so getting around, it's interesting when you read some of that history stuff and people would come to compete in Australia, for example. Think back to the 1956 Olympics, and they'd travel by boat, and they'd take all that time to get here.
A few weeks.
Now you're going to jump on a plane, and you're going to be on the other side of the world in half a day or less than a day. And people complain about that, mind you. Oh, such a long flight. But try spending a couple of weeks on a boat when you're trying to prepare for a major competition. So, yeah, the world's a lot smaller. We get around a lot more. And, of course, there's more opportunity now. You think about, the sort of traditional type sports, but now athletes have a lot of opportunities in a lot of different sports.
Well, you've got your traditional Olympics and Commonwealth Games, and, of course, the cricket now has been expanded to, seven test-playing countries now, and the rugby and soccer, the World Cup of soccer. And in cricket, the World Cup cricket has grown since the 70s when it first started. And it's just unbelievable the amount of growth with women's teams coming in and other sports. It's just with Australia being a multicultural country now, we've adopted other country sports as well. And like I see, there's ice hockey sort of Australian teams, water polo, lacrosse, gridiron, goalball, futsal, beach handball. I mean, these sports are obviously have been brought to Australia from some of the migrants that have come here.
Well, of course, and and again, it's a great opportunity. But of course, those smaller sports, and I know what that's like. I'm from one of them. Trying to get overseas and trying to compete against the best in the world, and is pretty tough. Financially, and of course, most of these people in those sports you just mentioned are going to be working full time. And so for them to be able to get an opportunity to go and compete or train overseas is only going to make those sports stronger.
I mean, you've got your individual sports per se, like swimming, athletics, cycling, tennis and golf, although they do have team components in them. And I know for Australia in the Fed Cup, they have a little bit of a mixed men and females playing, and they're the Cockatoos.
The Cockatoos. Now, there are some interesting Australian names, I know, aren't there? So I was just reading about the Matildas, of course, the women's soccer team who are going great guns at the moment and just competing over there. They've got the Asian Cup coming up this year and the World Cup. I think they're on it. They just actually lost to Portugal in the, I think it's pronounced the Algarve Cup. But they've been on an 8-game winning streak. What other sort of names have you? I mean, you know all this stuff. You're full of good information, or that's what some people would call it.
I have a little bit, but it's interesting. Soccer, or like a lot of people call it football, because in England and Europe it's known as football, but in Australia and in America it's always been known as soccer. But there's been a push to call it football over here, which is interesting because the national men's team is called the Socceroos.
Well, that's true. And so, of course, it is an international... I mean, football or soccer is probably truly an international sport, isn't it?
Yes.
We think of it as played all around the world by a large number of countries. And so, we call it soccer so it doesn't clash with our understanding of football. But I understand why footballers would like it called football.
Mm-hmm. You look at rugby union and rugby league. Rugby union, they're the Wallabies and the Wallaroos for the girls. In the league, it's Kangaroos for the guys and Jillaroos for the girls, which is interesting because in the bowls, the guys are called the Jackaroos. The girls there are called the Sapphires. But it's interesting the cross-production of names over various Australian sports.
Well, can you imagine a new sport trying to come up with a name that hasn't already been used?
It would be tough. I mean, One thing I always found unusual, the netball, the ladies' netballs, they're called the diamonds. I would have thought that would have been more appropriate for the softballers because they play on diamonds.
Well, that is true. We're not big on diamonds in Australia, are we? Like, in terms of mining diamonds?
Yeah, no, not really.
We're lucky we've got a lot of flora and fauna to sort of name teams after. But diamonds, certainly, you know, they're created under pressure, so maybe that's where the name comes from.
Well, softball, they're called the Aussie Spirit. And the baseball, the boys, they're called the Southern Thunder for the guys, and the girls are called the Emeralds. There we have another sort of gemstone sort of in there.
I know we've got our gem. Is there anyone about amethysts or anything like
that? Opals, basketball.
The opals,
yeah, the guys are the boomers, but... Yeah.
So girls seem to get the jewels name, the gems names.
Yeah, well, the sapphires for the bowls, as we already mentioned. So you got sapphires, opals, emeralds, diamonds. They love those gemstones.
I'd like to see the girls call something, because I'd like them to be, I wonder what the girls think about those names, whether they think, because the men seem to get the sort of the tougher, scarier animal-type names, and the girls aren't getting them. But I think they should be represented by that as well.
Well, in hockey, you got the Kookaburras, and then you got the Hockaroos, so I suppose that's a pretty good name for the girls.
Kookaburras are dangerous animals.
Now, it's my favourite of all the nicknames would be the Orienteering. They're called the Boomerangs. I reckon that's quite ironic.
Because why?
Because they always end up where they start from.
Unless they get lost.
Oh, yes, that's a good point. And I suppose if your boomerang gets lost, it won't come back either. But and I tell you, the most popular Australian team is probably the cricket that everyone sort of identifies with. What do you think they're called?
I should know this, shouldn't I?
You should, and I must admit, until I looked it up, it was so obvious when I looked it up.
I just think the Australian team... I don't know.
Believe it or not, they're called the Baggy Greens.
Oh, well, of course, there you go, Baggy Greens.
Exactly my response.
That is certainly historically correct, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Baggy Greens, it's such a famous thing in Australian cricket. Do other nations have that? Like, we have the Baggy Green. Do other nations have that? Like, the different colours? I mean, the idea of wearing the cap is, or being capped is a sort of normal part of sport, isn't it?
But it is, but with our Aussie senses, obviously, we tend to sort of think about our own sports more than others. But, I mean, in England, of course, they have the blue caps, and I think South Africa have green caps, don't they?
South Africa, at the moment, are wearing all sorts of things on their heads.
Well, when you talk about that, back in the day, the captain of the cricket team, they used to have like a jester hat. It used to be all these different colours.
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting show, actually, traditions of caps that people have, like, traditionally worn in sport.
Well, you know, back in the early days of football, the footballers in the 1800s quite often used to wear caps to play football.
Yeah, I have seen that, yeah.
I mean, you see...
Even though I'm not as old as you, I have seen that.
Yes, but I can never recall anyone wearing a cap playing footy, mate, so I'm not that old. Recently, there's been so much sport played representing Australia, obviously the Winter Olympics.
Oh, Winter Olympics. Did you watch much of that? Did you get around to see much of that?
I only really saw highlights. I mean, it's on all the time. It's in your face. You've got the tennis. But our television's a little bit on the blink at the moment, and my missus keeps telling me to get it fixed. But,
it's... You've got more important things to do. You've got books to write, and research to do.
Radio shows to do with you.
Yeah, right up there. Three medals.
Yeah.
A bit of criticism again. It's always like we always criticise our teams, don't we, when they don't do as well as we might think. And then again, I wonder why we even think they might do as well as people suggest. But so some of our guys that have won in the past, in the aerial skiing, for example, where we have dominated, haven't we? No medals, which is unusual. So 23rd overall. And I know a lot of people say, oh, Winter Olympics. It doesn't seem to equate with Australian, but we do have a strong winter. We have the snow fields. We have a lot of people involved in skiing and winter sports. And so you think snowboarding, for example, is a pretty cool young person sport. And that's where a lot of our medals have come from, these younger guys and girls who are now getting involved in it. So, again, probably thinking we're not such, you know, that's probably not our strength. But We put a pretty good team over there, and it's such a different sport, isn't it? You watch all those different activities, and it can really be down to the day, unlike a lot of team sports. So I think the conditions and the type of skills that these guys have to exhibit can mean it can be quite difficult on the day to really get that performance just right.
Well, I must ask you, did Australia have a team in the curling? I mean, we'd have to be good at that, surely.
I don't know whether we had a team, but one of the Russian guys got done on drugs in curling.
Oh, you're joking.
And I'm like, oh my God, what was he doing? Seriously, come on. Get over yourselves, guys.
What drug enhancement is there for curling? I just can't believe it.
I don't know. But I'm not going to make fun of any sports because if I can throw a lump of lead around my head and let it go, that's what you call a sport. I think curling's probably got me covered.
Yeah, but you know, when we talk about curling, obviously we've talked a little bit about the Winter Olympics then, but I know there's a team from Japan, Denzel, come over as one of the industrial teams to play in the professional leagues over there. They come over and play this Aussie Spirit at West Beach in the softball, and that's the first time in my memory that the Australian team has actually played a international side here in Adelaide.
Well, that is historical, isn't it?
There were four games.
How'd they go? Did we go all right against
them? We won two and we lost two.
50-50.
We had four South Australians in the team, so, yeah, it was pretty good. And, of course, Australia baseballers, they've just been over Japan and played a couple of games over there, getting ready for the Olympics coming up next year in Japan. It'd be great if Australia can return to the Olympic stage.
We'll need a big feather in baseball's cap. How about we've got the Winter Paralympics just about to kick off as well?
Yep.
So let's not forget those athletes. Often the Paralympians are sort of forgotten after the Olympics or Winter Olympics. So those guys and girls, we wish them luck.
You know, it's one of the things that's always I've had a little bit of difficulty understanding is with the Paralympics, why do they have them after the main events? Why not have them before the Olympics and before the Winter Olympics, so then they stand out a bit more and they can go in as a taster rather than have some huge Olympic Games, Winter Olympics, and then they tend to be almost an afterthought?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think obviously you've got all the infrastructure there. So even doing it before, even integrating, you're having the events together, because that would be a pretty big thing, wouldn't it? That's a lot of athletes and a lot of events. So maybe there's some logistical issues there that have to be overcome. And sometimes things that we might think are great ideas can't be done in terms of logistics. But, yeah, I'd like to see because, you know, again, our athletes with disabilities are real athletes. They train just like any other athlete. They sacrifice like any other athlete, and their performances are outstanding. So it would be good to see a little bit more limelight there.
Well, obviously, it's a subject we can sort of talk on again. It's a never-ending type of subject. So we'll call an end to it for today. This is another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.